While we are unable to be absolutely certain how this substance came to be in our system, we can only assume it occurred during a night out prior to testing in which we took illicit drugs. Although we can't be sure, we believe the substance we took was laced with clenbuterol. We want to stress that at no stage did we knowingly take clenbuterol. We acknowledge we made a serious error in judgment, but want to make it absolutely clear that we have never intentionally taken performance enhancing drugs.
Josh Thomas there from the Collingwood Football Club. Gary Peart is the Collingwood CEO and he's joined us on Melbourne's Home of Footy. Gary, thanks for your time. We appreciate it on a busy day.
Hey, Marco, Ox, Dermy.
Gary, the AFL world, they've been watching the Collingwood Football Club closely on this one and we've seen the outcome today. How are you going to reflect on that outcome?
Well, I think, you know, how the day's rolled out, the feedback that we've got from all avenues has been that it's been appropriately dealt with. And this has been an ASARA investigation in conjunction with the AFL. It's, you know, in Collingwood has really been a bystander for a lot of it, as you know. So as we collected the information just recently about how it was going to roll and what view the players were going to take and that they were not going to fight the charges and take the sanction, then it left us in a position to go, so how are we going to deal with this? And at a board level, all the way through the leadership of the club, it was decided that they're both very good people. They've made a bad decision. They've taken responsibility for it, but they're two young men that we want to give some light at the end of the tunnel. We want to give them a chance if they put themselves back in the draft to end up as rookies on our list and try and attempt to rekindle their careers.
Gary, the illicit substance involved, clearly a party drug, was it cocaine laced with clenbuterol or was it some kind of party pill?
Well, as we talked about today, all the conversations that we had with all internal and external parties were all confidential conversations. To us, the illicit drug is irrelevant because we have zero tolerance on any illicit drug.
No, I understand that, Gary, but what about for the footy community, for young men out there that are thinking of doing something, wouldn't it be a pretty good story or a statement to say, this is what it is, if you're thinking about it, forget about it?
Well, the one thing that I would say to that, Ox, is because I've had a lot of conversations with people involved in the detection of illicit drugs over the last few months, is that clearly in any form of illicit drug, you cannot be guaranteed what's in that substance. So it's not for me, it's for the players or for ASADA to declare what individual drugs are. But what I have established in the conversations is that any of those illicit drugs could potentially have performance in enhancing drugs mixed in them. It's not a one-off contamination. This is now part of a new world of this illicit drug. So I don't think it's going to be isolated to one type.
Purdy, in a world of late in the football landscape where we hear apologies and the sorts, and some of them are just fodder for the ears, those two boys speaking today, that was absolute earnest honesty, and you feel sympathy for them now, don't you?
Oh, there's no doubt. These are two young men that, as we said, made a bad decision, but they've taken responsibility right from the start. So from the first day we had these conversations when they are in shock about the results that ASADA had presented to them, and as it unfolded and they understood the reality, is all the way through they've taken responsibility, and what they wanted again was to have the chance to say sorry to the footy club and to their teammates, what they've created, and they want to come back to the club not only for their own ambitions but to actually support the club that supported them as well. And when they got up in front of their teammates today, you know, it was quite an emotional thing to see them, and they were certainly well received by their teammates who want to see them back on board, and we'd all love to see them at some stage end up running around with the Collingwood jumper on again.
Yeah, regarding the Collingwood jumper, give us the framework, the time frame with these two lads. They are going to be let off the list, then do you re-rookie them at the completion of this year before next season, or are they completely off the list and then you're re-rooking them the following 2016 October or whatever timeline it is in preparation for the 2017 season?
So we put them off our primary list at the end of this year.
Yep, round 22 or whenever your last game, yep.
Yep, and then they had the option to put themselves back into the draft straight away, and any club can actually redraft them. Now, it would be unlikely that clubs would redraft them onto their primary list because, of course, they won't be able to train or play for that next 12 months.
Yep.
So by not being picked up in the national draft, they could be picked up by any club. And it's only if they're available at our pick will we pick them up. But they can be picked up by any club in the following rookie draft. So that allows them to be back on the list, but they're not allowed to train or have anything to do with any club that they're listed with until probably January or February of the following year.
2017,
yep.
We're speaking with Gary Peart, the Collingwood CEO. Gary, you went pretty hard at the illicit drugs policy itself today. If we threw you the keys, what needs to be done? How would you word the new policy?
Well, I'm on the working party, so I'm not in a position to say this is exactly how the whole policy has to roll. But what we talked about today, because the working party involved expert advice from different areas of the industry and everyone needs to have their input, but we do need to get a greater accountability built into the program. We need to have an illicit drug policy where that the players are seeing when they're in that situation, where they have to make a decision on whether they use illicit drugs or not, that the consequences are big enough for them to sit back and go, no, this is not worth it. And as we know by the testing and the numbers coming through, while the vast majority of AFL players are making the right decisions, there's still too big a number, including our two players, that the consequences aren't big enough. And when you get a first strike and your name stays anonymous and you just become a statistic on the AFL's spreadsheets and no one knows about it, that's not a big enough penalty to get these young men to make the sort of decisions we want them to. So there's no doubt we need to build up the accountability on that. And the other key area is the clubs, including Collingwood, want to be more intimately involved in building the policy, but then also being exposed to the information that allows us not only to support but also hold our own players accountable and actually deal and confront these issues as soon as possible so we can really address this issue as a very strong combined body, which the clubs are, and the relationship and the resources they have and the connections they have with the players is largely being ignored at the moment, which is, I think, contributing to the circumstance we've got.
Gary, would it be fair to say that these players, if they are going to come back into the system, that they need to help educate the rest of the competition and maybe the TAC competition, maybe even school kids, that what you think you're taking isn't what it is. Now, whether it's a pill or cocaine, whatever they've taken, and it'll come out in time, that they share that information and they share the knowledge, but they share their experience. It's cost them 50 grand, it's cost them 2 years, it may end up costing them their careers, that this will be part of their process, part of, if they stay at Collingwood, Collingwood's process to help understand and help share the message that it ain't acceptable.
Yes, and the players have made, both of them have made themselves available to any sort of efforts that the club will have in that educational space. And that's something that we've thought about. We've been trying to get through this final part of the process. But, yes, they want to play a role. They've made an absolute commitment to the club that they will be role models in this area. They've committed to target testing the entire time that they continue with their careers. They want to be an example of what other players look up to and aspire to, and they're very open to be educators and get involved in any programs that we look at. So we'll certainly be exploring that.
Gary, thanks for coming on today.
Thanks, guys.
Good on you, Peart.
Gary Peart there, the Collingwood CEO.